Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tam Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Privilege Project. You're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
Hi, we are back from Apex here in Las Vegas.
You notice the longer this goes, this should be like a telethon
or something.
You know, you'd have it down pat.
Well, if it's a telethon, Matt, how much are you going to give us?
Oh, I give you 22 minutes.
You what?
I'll just give you 22 minutes of content. That's it.
Oh.
I don't have any money. I don't have a job, Randy. I work for you.
When are you going to start?
Well, I work for you, Randy, so I don't have a job. I used to be self-employed. Now I'm underemployed, and I'm proud to work for Knockout Radio.
Okay.
But I need to leave at 3:30 today, boss.
Randy's actually, you know, taking a thing to his eye. You've brought a tear to his eye here.
Well, I got to leave early, so I've never really had to ask permission to leave work before. But now I'm in a new role, so... boss man, is it okay if I leave at 3:30 today on the dot?
Why? Where are you going?
Well, I have an opportunity to be part of the Florida State Athletic Commission, and there's a big boxing event in Plant City, and I'll be working the fights tonight to learn a new role as an inspector to work fights for the boxing commission.
Maybe you can sign the guy when he has his hand wrapped. You can sign the wrap.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, because I signed Randy's will earlier. So yeah, I'm good at signing stuff.
You know, when you get that gig, I'll be curious because I will have some things to ask you. Like, is it normal of a boxing commission to hire people who know absolutely nothing about the sport that they're going to be a commissioner of?
Well, what do you need to know? I mean, how hard can it be? I mean, there's a red corner, there's a blue corner. I know both colors. It's a ring.
Yeah, but you're colorblind.
Dang it.
How did that get out?
Well, I mean, I did put that my favorite color was clear. So, but yeah, no, I'm excited to, you know, look, I'm in the fight game in every aspect from journalism to trainer development to fighter management. Just got my first contract deal worked out with Nate Shook for BKFC yesterday. So Carl Robertson, former UFC fighter, is looking to fight. So it looks like we got a deal worked out with the BKFC for him. So this is just a migration of moving up into the inspector, fighter safety, obviously bare knuckle boxing and the billboard mats. So it's everything combat, Randy. And Knockout Radio's in all of it. You should be a proud papa.
Yeah, that's something that would scare the living hell out of me. Matt McClellan representing me for anything. Well, here, let me negotiate your next cheeseburger.
I mean, I'm pretty good, Randy. I mean, I got max effort. I got max dollar for what Nate said he was willing to offer, and I got it. So, pretty good at negotiations.
Hold on a second.
Hey, look at him as the Ohtani of boxing
now. Yeah.
Did he just say that he got Nate to give him, and he accepted it, so that makes him a great negotiator? That's what you just said.
Yeah, I'm a good negotiator, Randy. I mean, put me in, like, a terrorist stuff or hostage negotiations. Put me in. I mean, I'll work a deal.
So Nate Shook, who works for BKFC, said, this is the bottom line, take it or leave it.
No.
Matt McClellan said, okay, I'll take it. Nope. That makes you a good negotiator.
No way. I can show you the text messages. I'm good.
Yeah, all right.
No, it's just a evolution of my career, right? And how do you get to somewhere unless you take chances and take risk and step outside your comfort zone? So, you know, I've never done it on the inspector side. I've never done it for the Commission of Florida. But I love the sport. I want to make sure that everybody's safe within it. I don't know. I feel like it's a yeah, I'm stepping out of my comfort zone, but why not? You know, life is short. You never are promised a tomorrow, right?
That's right. I hear you. Well, no, that's good. I give you a lot of credit for that. I think it's commendable what you're doing. And you'll be a huge success, I guarantee it.
Thank you. Hey, G-Man, so let Randy tell you about his philosophy of judging fights. He's a registered judge in the state of Florida, and he has a history of turning in the scorecard, being in his car, driving away from the venue before they officially announce who won the fight.
I don't see a problem with that. Do you see a problem with that?
Well, as long as you want the speed limit, no.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, once I turn the card in, I don't understand what the problem is. I've turned the card in. There is nothing else to do. So I turn it in and I leave. I don't care who wins. Right? So I'm the quickest to put my card in. They would always come to me first because I know a second after the round is over, I turn it in, I leave.
Yeah, but
I don't see a problem with it.
In school, the person who turned the test in the first usually didn't know the answers. They were just doing it to blow through it, wanted to get home. They've just put on the test all C's, fill in the little bubble letters, and they just wanted to go back to like whatever they were going to do. So turn in a scorecard, you don't have to go back and rethink about what you scored or rounds or what you saw.
Well, no, because even if I would to do that, you can't change it. The card has been turned in. This is my score. And that's what I'm going with, and that's what I'm sticking with. So what difference does it make?
So why do some promotions or some states, why does it take so long to get the final verdict from the judges to the announcer in the ring? Like, why do they wait for so long? Like, what if it's all instant when you turn in like you do, what would be the delay?
I would say that they don't know how to count. Maybe they run out of fingers. Because you turn your scorecard in after every round.
Now,
do
you like that Kansas opened up open scoring where in between rounds, the corners, the fighters, the fans know where the fight stands after each round?
I do like that. Or
do you?
Yeah, I do like that. Because I think if you know you're losing the third round, and a lot of times your corners are telling you that you're winning, I want to know. If I'm losing, I need to know that.
Well, usually, if you're a fighter, you know if you're losing.
Well, you really don't. You know, because if your corner is saying, you know, yeah, you're starting to think, well, I think I won. Well, in your corner, or you think you lost, and your corner is saying, no, you won, because a lot of times the corners are yes men or whatever. You know, what are you going to do? Are you going to believe your corner? Coast, don't coast?
I don't know.
I mean, what,
I like it where I don't like it posted and saying, well, if the guy is up eight rounds to one or something, the other guy might just, you know, quit. Yeah, just forget about it.
Well, I was thinking more MMA wise where it's three rounds.
Yeah.
You know, so you really don't have the opportunity to quit, or you're going to quit in the third round, you know, when you know the only way you can win is by knockout. You know, or submission. That's the third. I get it in boxing, 12 rounds, you know. Yeah, if you're down 7-1.
Well, I don't know if you realize that I used to box. I was a fighter. And but you know, you're looking at me like I'm making it up. But I had to get out of the sport because I had trouble with my hands. The referee kept stepping on them. So anyway, I thought this isn't for me.
Well, I mean, going back to Randy's point, you know, when you get to the third round and it's a knockout or you lose because you're behind, the title fight of the card you're at right now in Vegas was the same way. Leon Edwards was losing to Kamaru Usman, and in the final round, he threw a head kick and won the belt. So,
but do you think either one of those two fighters, Usman or Leon Edwards, would have fought that fifth round any different had they known where they were in the scorecard?
I think if you know you're winning, I think there is a little bit more caution out there. I don't think they take as many risks. They're not as forward with the pressure. I do think it changes the final round if it's such a one-sided victory where all they're trying to do is survive till the bell. I think it absolutely does.
So you think in your mind that Kamaru Usman didn't know he was winning all four rounds? Of course he did.
He knew.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He knew. So even if he knew, so now he knows. He knows.
Yep.
Their corner knows because he dominated all four rounds. I still think he does exactly the same thing that he did in that fifth round because he knew he was winning. He knew that he could have, should have, would have stayed away, but he was trying to finish Leon Edwards. Do you think in any way possible Leon Edwards thought he was winning that fight?
No, not a chance.
His corner was worried that he was quitting.
Right.
So in that particular case, I think you're wrong because both fighters, Usman and Edwards, knew where they were, you know, in the scorecard.
Yeah, but Usman didn't keep the pressure that got him up 4-0 into the fifth round. I mean, he didn't keep doing the same strategy that he had done the first 20 minutes of the fight because he was being cautious, trying not to lose it in the fifth, and he ended up taking a head kick and losing it all.
He did lose it all.
Like George St. Pierre during an interview said to me, in our sport, sport.
I can hardly wait for this.
One mistake can change everything. No, but that he said, but that's true.
Was that GSP or Ivan Drago?
I think it was Drago, now that you bring it up. Okay.
Have you seen his new commercial?
No.
So he does a commercial for, I believe the restaurant's called Zagby's.
Oh, yeah, the chicken place, Zagby's.
It's a chicken place. Right?
Oh, I thought it was Zag Fifth Avenue.
No, so it's Zagby's. So he has a chicken sub, right? Yeah. And the commercial is he's standing on the steps in Philadelphia of where Rocky ran the steps.
Right.
And he takes the sandwich and he looks and he goes, I must eat you.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's better.
That's the Museum of Art in Philadelphia.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Right where the statue is. All right, let's go hit a quick break and try to get back on schedule. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, Bucked Up Energy Drink, and Bio Accelerator.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm James Lofton, and you know who you are on the other side of the dial, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Ladies and gentlemen, fighting out of the Christmas corner, MMA bobbleheads from MMABobblehead.com.
Join the invasion at the 2023 Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl on Friday, December 22nd at 6:30 p.m. when the UCF Knights face off against the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets at Tampa's Raymond James Stadium. Two teams go head-to-head to see who will hoist the treasured Gasparilla Bowl trophy. Don't miss a minute of the bowl season action. The Knights and the Yellow Jackets in Tampa. Tickets are on sale now at GasparillaBowl.com.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up Energy Drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up!
You're hungry, where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink, where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team, where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
How you doing? This is Tony Gonzalez from the Kansas City Chiefs, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back. What do we got? About two more segments. Josh Emmett coming up here momentarily, I believe, at the bottom of the hour. So before you take off, what else you got on your mind?
Well, let's run down the fight card, because we didn't even touch on some of these fights. There's some big names on this card. Obviously, your main title fight, Leon Edwards versus Colby Covington. Your co-main event, your flyweight, Alexandra Pedroia versus Brandon Royval. Two title fights on the same card. You got Stephen Thompson fighting in a welterweight, your third fight of the night. Tony Ferguson versus Paddy. Vicente Luque versus Ian Garry. So your whole main card is just stacked top to bottom. I mean, they're calling Ian Garry the next Conor McGregor.
Is that because of his accent or his talent?
Yeah, both. I think it's both. You know, and that's actually what I wanted to ask Cody Garbrandt is, if you remember, Randy, he was in Brooklyn at UFC 223, some 73 UFC events ago. And, you know, I wanted to know how the sports changed from the McGregor era, right? Like, is it the same? Like, what's the sentiment inside the Apex and around the UFC is, you know, the antics and the McGregor factor, you know, what's it like now versus then? But, you know, then you go right into your prelims. You got Josh Emmett as a headliner.
Hold on a sec. Before you go into the prelims,
yeah.
Now answer your own question. Look at three of the five fighters in the main card as you're talking about the antics and the this and the that. You've got Colby Covington.
Yeah.
You've got Paddy, and you got Ian Garry.
Yeah. Yeah, the next evolution of McGregor, right?
Well, you know, and I don't even think Ian Garry is Colby Covington. I don't think he's Paddy, you know, yet, but he is up into what you know you're trying to say. I get that.
And then your prelim card, you got Josh Emmett versus Bryce Mitchell taking this fight on short notice. So going back to, you know, staying ready, being ready. Then your women's bantamweight, Irene Aldana versus Carol Rosa. Cody Garbrandt versus Brian Keller. And then Casey O'Neill versus Ariane Lipsky. I don't know who that is. I've never heard that name before. Never seen it. But it's a stacked card, man. I mean, you know, I don't know. It makes me want to get a plane ticket and come out. Makes me want to be out there with you guys.
We're going to get you working for the United Nations.
Yeah.
Work over there.
You're a translator.
Too many letters. I mean, yeah, maybe if Pat Sajak does retire, I mean, I can learn some vowels and some consonants. I could take on this role, but when's a global sport? All these names are things I've never heard before.
What is the first fight you're looking forward to, and Ron, you as well? Is there one that sticks out like it's a must? I need to see. I want to see. You know, try to take out relationships, who you've talked to, who you've interviewed, or in your case, Matt, whose name you have pronounced correctly. You know, just which fight, you know, are you looking forward to the most?
For me personally or for Ron?
We'll go with you.
Okay. I'm going to say I'm most intrigued by the Vicente Luque versus Ian Garry fight. I want to see if Ian is as dominant and as good as everybody says that he is. And I want to see if Vicente can really elevate his game and go to that next level, which I know he's capable. I think that's the fight of the night.
Rod?
Well, you know, I've always been a fan of Wonder Boy. And at 40 years of age, here's a guy that he's only been finished one time. The old guard is making a stand. You know, we also have Tony Ferguson. That's another fight I want to see. That's going to be interesting because we don't know about Paddy. You know, we're the jury's still out on him. So that's an interesting fight. Now, I named two. You wanted one. I'd have to go with
that's the Army for you.
Yeah. I'd have to go, well, we're fair. We're fair-minded in the Army.
You know, the Army, which direction are you going after the enemy? We're going to go north or south. We'll figure it out when we're there.
Well, at least we're there. We're not like the Navy sitting out, you know, how many miles out at sea.
doing our job.
Well, that's not the way it works. You've got to have the people, the infantry in there. But anyway, I'd say I want to watch Wonder Boy.
All right, let's go hit our break, and when we come back, we will return with Josh Emmett.
All right.
To the show. Coming to you live from Apex. We'll be right back.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Vinny Castilla from the Washington Nationals. You are talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
It's time, Tampa Bay. It's college bowl season in your backyard. ReliaQuest Bowl 2024. Two of the country's top head coaches go face-to-face. The Big Ten's Luke Fickell and Wisconsin Badgers collide head-on with Brian Kelly and the LSU Tigers of the SEC for the coveted ReliaQuest Bowl Championship Trophy. New Year's Day, Raymond James Stadium, Ticketmaster.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Helen Ficalora Fine Jewelry at fair prices. Christmas gifts, we have them. Hanukkah gifts, we have them. At Helen Ficalora, we have the gifts. Shop jewelry now at helenficalora.com with code Z100 for free shipping. That's helenficalora.com.
What's up, Tampa, Florida? What's up, Clearwater, Florida? This is Scott Yeager of the Challenge Mania podcast. And if you're a fan of MTV's The Challenge, just like me, or CBS's Big Brother, we have an awesome event for you on Saturday, January 27th, to get you ready for WWE's Royal Rumble later that night. Myself and the godfather of MTV, Mark Long, are hosting a Royal Rager party at Mugs in Clearwater from 1 to 4 p.m. right by Tropicana Stadium where the Royal Rumble is taking place. We'll be joined by Alyssa Snyder, Alyssa Lopez, Hunter Barfield, Paulie Calafiore, Sam McGinn, the Nolan Twins, and more cast members from reality TV. Come and hang out with us. Come and hang out with the Challenge Mania gang. Meet the cast members. Party like it's MTV Spring Break. It all goes down from 1 to 4 p.m. on Saturday, January 27th at Mugs in Clearwater. Trust us, you'll have more than enough time to make it over to the stadium for the Royal Rumble, because that's where we're going to. Tickets are available now at ChallengeMania.com. Live.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
This is Mike Evans with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
All right, we are back coming to you from Las Vegas as we get ready for another massive card this weekend at T-Mobile. Let's welcome our final guest of this broadcast to the program. Back to the program, Josh Emmett. How are you? Maybe I should be more professional here and turn it on. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I'm doing great. It's great to be here.
All right, Matt. So this will be the final time this is brought up. So either I'm right or you're right, but Josh Emmett is going to decide where my hometown is. Where is your hometown and where were you born?
Born in Phoenix, Arizona. So I'm guessing you were born But my hometown is Sacramento, California. You know, I'm born or raised there.
All right. So when somebody says, like, where are you from? Do you ever say Phoenix?
No.
There's always Sacramento.
Sacramento.
Yes.
All right. So, yes. Matt, I just lied because it's not going to end then. This will continue. I was born in Philly.
Okay.
In Philadelphia. My mom flew every 2 years to have the children born in Philly for numerous reasons. Okay. Same doctor. She was comfortable. My grandparents were there. So I always say I'm from Philly. And Matt, you know, who's back at the studio, says, no, you're not. You were there for 2 weeks, three weeks, whatever. And then I was stationed there. But so I was hoping you were going to go the other way. So I lied on the air. I'm going to continue this until I find somebody who agrees with me. What's fight week like for you? You know, I mean, we've had you on numerous times. I mean, you seem, you know, relaxed, you seem chilled, but then we don't know what's going on inside either.
Yeah, no, I feel great. You know, fight week is, it's always different, but I'm fighting in Vegas, fight capital of the world. I'm undefeated on the West Coast. I'm going to keep it that way. You know, it's a 50-minute flight from Sacramento to Vegas, so I love fighting here. Same time zone. I have all my coaches and team here, and then I have a lot of friends and family trickling in, so yeah, I'm just calm, composed. And I'll stay this way. It doesn't even feel like a fight. I always feel like it's kind of like not a vacation because I'm not enjoying myself with like food and all these festivities. But it doesn't feel like I'm fighting until I'm in the octagon and the ref's like, "Are you ready?" I'm like, "Yeah, yeah." So
let's go. You know, we talked off the air briefly. The time change, you know, for what us coming out here. How much does that affect a fighter? And how early do you have to come so that time change doesn't affect you?
Yeah, I think everyone's different with the time change and climate change, where I fought all over the world. I fought on the East Coast, and I've gone out early when I fought out of the country, 10 days notice or maybe 2 week notice before, and I still didn't adjust. And then going to the Midwest or the East Coast, like we were talking about, even though, you know, whether it's 1, 2, or 3 hours, messes with me. So that's why I'm so glad I'm just on the West Coast.
So just easy for you. Go ahead, Matt.
So Josh, I got to get off here because I'm heading out to a boxing event for the Boxing Commission of Florida. I first met you in Orlando, I believe it was February of 2018. And I just want to say that you're everything that's right with the sport. I mean, I know in the media and you were shut down and not taking interviews, I reached out and you were gracious enough to come on and do the show. The family brotherhood and bond that's made, you know, behind the curtain is real. You're a warrior inside the octagon. It's been, I'm not supposed to cheer. We're supposed to be, you know, neutral and just document or report what happens. But I'm always a Josh Emmett fan. So I got to run. You're hanging out with two legends out there in Vegas, the G-Man and Randy. But just best of luck on Saturday and go get your hand raised, big dog.
Matt, I'm just going to correct you real quick. What I've always told you is you don't publicly cheer. You know, you're able to cheer, you know, just not publicly. So okay. That's all I'm going to correct you on that.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And, yeah, have fun at that boxing event.
See you guys.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Take good care of yourself. Hey, how is your fight plan, the way you approach a fight changed through the years? I mean, you've been at this quite some time now. How has it evolved? We'll put it that way. What's changed? Have you made many changes?
Yeah. I'm always trying to learn as much as I possibly can because the sport of mixed martial arts is still so new and the next generation is constantly evolving. So I need to stay up to, you know, up to date with, you know, new techniques and things like that. So mainly it's based on my opponent, whoever I'm fighting. Then I bring in different training partners that can somewhat emulate my opponent. And then we just work around like what, you know, like my capabilities. And, you know, I know if I just go out there and perform the way that my coaches know I can and I know I can, and my friends and family, like there's, you know, if I'm on that day, no one can beat me.
So not necessarily how has things changed over the years. How has it changed over the past couple of weeks? Oh, yeah. You know, now you get a new opponent. How has that changed? And I know this sounds stupid, but it's a serious question. Is it also good to get a new opponent, you know, this close to a fight? Meaning, you know, you're tired, you're bored of looking at the same guy and thinking of the same guy. Does it kind of rejuvenate the last couple? I don't know when the official announcement was, but does it kind of rejuvenate training camp that now you have to adjust and, you know, start looking at a different opponent?
Yeah, I guess if I think about it like that, it's because when you, at least I do personally, my opinion, when you get offered a fight and, you know, you accept it, you have all these different things going through your head and you're like, then you finally get to the point where, okay, I'm fighting this guy. I have a plan, all these type of things. So I've been training for a world-class striker for the last like 8-9 weeks. And all of a sudden it's a complete 180. And now I'm fighting a world-class grappler. But all those emotions and excitement, whatever you want to call it, they do come back and they resurface. And then I'm thinking like, oh shit, now I got to do this and this. And
he said shit, by the way. You saw the ship on the computer.
But there's a lot of things that go through your head. You know, it's like, fighting is a mental game. You know, physically, yeah, it's physically, but it's a mentally grueling, grinding sport. And I feel like that's one of my greatest attributes is being mentally strong. So I just kind of address what needs to be addressed and then just keep moving forward, you know, one step at a time. And it does kind of excite me again. Like, even though it's been a 10-week camp, and at first I was like, damn, I'm not. I knew I was going to fight regardless, but it's just, I'm always ready. So it's the same thing that I say, like, okay, if someone breaks into your house, are you going to be ready to go protect your family at the front door? I know I will be.
Sure.
So 10-day notice, hey, that doesn't faze me.
Right. When you got that name, you know, Bryce Mitchell is an up-and-coming name. You know, not necessarily even what he's done in the octagon. You know, Joe Public, this sport is still growing. You know that, you know, I've started at the very beginning. When you get a name that a lot of people outside of the sport knows, mm-hmm. you know, does that add to it? It doesn't even mean what he's capable in the octagon. It's that more people even know who he is.
Yeah, of course. It makes a big difference. You know, Bryce Mitchell is a talented fighter. He's a world-class grappler, and he's good everywhere, too. But that's, like, his bread and butter. It does make it, you know, I always go with the toughest opponent, and I go with the biggest name. I was offered, a handful of people, and I went with the toughest, biggest name, and that's Bryce Mitchell, you know, just because he does have a big following. And, I plan on going in there and having a lot of his following come over and become fans of mine now, you know, so it's going to be a phenomenal fight. And the fans, I think, are more excited for this fight than my previous opponent.
You know, and that's where cheering is allowed, where other fans.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I know that you have a wrestling background. What about WWE, you know, the scripted wrestling? Are you a fan of that at all? And do you watch it?
I'm not a fan now. I used to be a fan when I was a kid, you know, like a young child. I remember at Arco Arena in Sacramento, they tore the arena down now, but I saw Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior wrestle in the WWF back then. Right. And my favorite wrestler was always The Undertaker. So I love The Undertaker. I don't keep up with it anymore. But if you tell me a big name, of course, I know who they are.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because when you talk about the scripted type, And it's really unscripted when you get in there. Did you ever take anything from the WWF or any of those and use it in your fighting?
I mean, like as far as like technique, definitely not. But entertainment.
You mean you've never done a leg drop, a Hulk Hogan leg drop?
maybe we'll try it this time. I'll jump off the top of the cage if they don't DQ me.
Okay.
But yeah, no. As far as the entertainment standpoint, it's like I've always just been the same. I'm the same person, you know. I'm just gonna be who I am, and it's like I know people watching the sport do enjoy like all these like gimmicks and different people have different personalities and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And maybe that would have benefited me a lot more if I just some guy off the rails just doing crazy shit. Like maybe I would have a bigger following, but I'm just gonna be, you know, just who I am. And it's like, I don't know the what the people are going through that I'm fighting. So I'm like, we're all trying to achieve the same thing, I believe, you know, provide for our family. And for me, try to become a world champion. So I just keep working towards that. And I'm not going to be someone I'm not. I didn't go to acting school. I'm not going to be some character when the cameras come along.
Ron mentioned script, you know, WWE, WCW, all that is scripted. I always get a kick when an athlete says, you know, well, my game plan is, and I always ask this, how can you have a scripted game plan when you don't know what the opponent's going to do? You know, I've had people say, you know, send me a list of your first 10 questions. I'm like, I don't know my second question till I know the answer of your first question. So how does that, you know, you have a game plan, but it's only if everything goes the way you're planning it to go.
Of course. And that's some of the things with even journalists and stuff, or if I'm doing an interview, they're like, I'll send you the stuff. I'm like, you don't have to, because I'd rather just go on the fly. Like, I'm not going to type it out and do these type of things, which some people do need. But as far as game plans, I used to just go in there and fight. A fight's a fight. Because I feel like if you do have a certain game plan, and like you said, you can't execute it, then you may get in your head. But as you get towards the top, you know, you're in the top 10 in the world, top five, you're finding the top three guys in the world, that's when you break down so much film and we come up with a game plan, because there's a lot of tendencies that fighters do continue to do over the length of their career that they will not correct in an 8 to 10 week camp. So when they do make those same mistakes, then you hope to capitalize on it. So that's, at least we do have game plans, but we can adjust on the fly. We can switch some things up. If this isn't going right, then we go to, you know, plan B and so on. So we do come up with a good game plan, so to speak.
Sure.
But it's, we just got, at the end of the day, I got to go in there. I got to fight, impose my will, and just be in his face the entire time.
What's going through your mind? You know, you're walking to the cage. I'm sure you're thinking of something or not thinking at all. Now the fight starts. Are you thinking? Are you just flowing? Are you not thinking? Are you trying to think? You know, what's running through there?
Yeah, I think with fighting, it's crazy, because it's like when I'm walking out, it truly is like the modern day gladiators. I'm walking out and these people are insane. They're all drunk, screaming, kill him, rip his head off. You're just like, man, what the hell is wrong with these people? Like, this is wild. I couldn't imagine being back in the gladiator times. But I have a lot of things going on, because it's the uncertainty. Like, I put in the work, I'm so prepared, but you don't know what's going to happen. It's like speeding, you know, a Ferrari into a tree with no seatbelt on. You hope the best turns out. But once I get into the octagon and the bell rings and we're fighting, that's the only time that it sounds crazy, but I'm at peace. Because I'm living in the present. I'm not thinking about the past. I'm not thinking about the future. I'm thinking about the opponent in front of me. And it's not euphoric, but it's just like the only time I'm living in the present. And I'm not thinking about anything else. So I feel just at peace, as crazy as that sounds, when I am fighting.
I know this is your job. And a lot of times you fighters say it's fun. Is this fun?
No.
Or is this...
No, I'm never having a good time while I'm fighting. I love the lifestyle. I love living a healthy lifestyle, being my own boss, work hard, play hard. But I am not having fun while I'm fighting. There are people that are having fun, but I think they have a little bit of a screw loose, as you are.
Too.
But yeah, it is work. I'm just going in. I'm clocking in and I'm clocking out. I'm going to get my check. Checks. I'm going to get three checks. But I also, I don't know. I do enjoy everything about it. But the fight itself, you know, everyone's like, are you excited for your fight? Like, you excited to go get in a car accident?
Right.
Yeah. What would you be doing if you weren't a professional fighter? What interests you? What would you do?
Yeah. So since I was a young child, there's two things I wanted to do since I was young. I wanted to be a professional athlete, not thinking about fighting. It was either basketball, football, but got older, stopped growing. So I knew that was out of the question.
I was trying to think of a funny way to say that.
And then a police officer. I've always wanted to be a police officer. You know, growing up was a little challenging, and, you know, I wanted to help families with what, you know, my mom and I were going through. So that's only the two things I've ever wanted to do, you know. And I was going through an application process with the police, and, you know, there were some budget cuts at one point. And then I've been pursuing this, you know, for a long time. And I'm glad that the way things have gone, because I truly believe everything happens for a reason. And if I was not fighting, I'd probably be a police officer. Or if I got accepted into the academy, cause I passed everything, I'd be doing that, and I would not be fighting, cause I would have quit MMA. I was already, you know, I was like 7-0 or something as a professional, not in the UFC, but, you know, as a professional athlete. So I would have gave it all up to do that. And so
they're both, like, both of those professions like, you know, really, it's very, it's, I don't know which is more difficult, you know, because you never know what the, what's going to happen, especially as a police officer, you know, being called you, every day, you don't know what you're going to face.
Yeah, you never know. I would say fighting safer, because you never know, it could be your last traffic stop.
Yeah.
And you don't know, and I did my, I wrote a thesis in college on stress and motivation in policing. I did a lot of research on it and things like that, and it is, you know, different issues like health issues and a lot of things that go on with it. So at least I'm in a controlled environment. They are not. And that's right.
Interesting. I know this is a bad week to bring it up, but I did hear you say that you're a foodie. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of times you don't want to talk food this week. But if it's cool, talk about being a foodie. What do you like? What do you not like? What drives you food-wise?
Yeah, there's really nothing that I don't like. You know, I do not discriminate. no, but it's I love everything. And not only just going out and eating, like, bad stuff like a lot of people do. Like, my wife and I, we really do love, like, a culinary experience. We like going to, like fine dining and high-end restaurants. We love our red wine. We love, you know, our whiskey and bourbons. I do. She likes, you know, tequila. But, like, we have a great food scene in Sacramento as well. So I always tell people, you tell me the cuisine that you're feeling, and I have a spot for you. We've traveled the world.
What you feel? Have you ever done any of those cooking classes where they have you?
Yeah, we always, when we do travel somewhere, we like to kind of dive into the culture. And when we went to Vietnam, we stayed with a host family. We trekked through the rice fields of northern Vietnam right during, before COVID was brought over here. We're on the border of Laos and China, hiking for miles and staying with families. We've also gone to Thailand, and we've done the cooking classes where they take all the, you know, the herbs and chilies and lemongrass from the garden and teach us how to cook it. And then we did the opposite dishes, so we both had 9 different ones. We had 18 meals we cook, and then we're eating. But yeah, we always try to really just immerse ourselves in the culture, and that's a passion of ours, eating and traveling.
And of course, Saturday night back in the Octagon. Let's end it with this. Give us your thoughts, you know, on Saturday. Bryce Mitchell, like we talked about, a big name. Josh Hammett, a big name. What can everybody expect? What can you expect?
Yeah, it's going to be fireworks. You know, I feel like I know what his game plan is going to be. Tough, talented, hungry fighter. But I'm getting my hand raised on Saturday night. Whether it's knockout, it doesn't matter how I win. I'm going to find a way to win. And I have that no-quit mentality. I will win Saturday night. That's it.
Have fun on Saturday. We appreciate your time. You. We're going to get your address. We'll send you another care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as some cool stuff from Bucked Up Energy Drink as well.
I appreciate you guys.
Let's go hit our last break of the afternoon. This is Out Radio, coming to you live from Apex here, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Snap Zone, Bucked Up Energy Drink, and BioXL.
Fireball.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Yo, maniacs! Hulk Hogan here, the greatest of all time, and you're listening to Knockout Radio. So what you gonna do?
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
It's the ReliaQuest Bowl. Wisconsin Badgers versus LSU Tigers. Big Ten versus SEC. ReliaQuest Bowl. New Year's Day. Raymond James Stadium. Ticketmaster.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Yo, what's up? This is DDP, Diamond Dallas Page World Championship Wrestling, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back. Final few minutes here from the Apex. Three great guys, three great chats.
Very nice.
Conversations. I'm looking forward to the card. I'm looking forward to the press conference tomorrow. We're also going to go do some coverage of combat karate. So we'll talk about that a little bit next week. Ben Henderson against Pettis.
Wow.
On Friday. So what's the rest of your week like? And first and foremost, thank you for joining us today. You know,
well,
it was awesome.
I appreciate the invite. It's been nice. I've heard an awful lot about this show. And I can see...
None true.
Well, most of it is true.
Oh, that's not good.
But you know what? I came on anyway. So
it says a lot about you.
What the heck, man? But, yeah, it's been great. The rest of this week, well, there's not too much of the week left. I'm going to have a visit from an old friend on Friday. And then, of course, we have the fight on Saturday. And we get there early, man. You know, because
we are.
They serve a nice meal. And then we get to enjoy this. I still can't get out of my head, really, for me, because maybe it's when you start getting older, the age of some of these guys, you know, on this card, and it makes it more intriguing to me. It really does.
You know, my biggest concern, and you mentioned Wonder Boy, and I say this all the time, and I'm not saying that he has said this. You know, again, I don't read other people's stuff. I don't follow other people's stuff. I'm never a fan when a fighter is getting ready to shut it down, getting ready to use the R word, you know, they like Robbie Lawler, you know, Robbie Lawler announced it, you know, and then went out and obviously, you know, a great performance against Nico Price.
Yeah.
But I'm never a big fan of that. And did you hear the Robbie Lawler story from New York City? Did you hear that story?
No.
So Robbie Hill and... I can't remember the other person. Sander Hagen, I believe, was in a vehicle leaving an appearance on Friday night, the night before the light heavyweight or the heavyweight interim bout. And their vehicle got attacked by protesters. Yeah, true story. I know that we always joke a lot. And, you know, Hill was getting all worried and not worried, but all jacked up and all this and all that. And allegedly from Brian Butler, the management company, said that Robbie was just typical Robbie, calm, cool, the whole nine yards, and basically said, you know, you just need to take a breath, relax, because we may be fighting for our lives here in a couple minutes. They broke the windows, they slashed the tires, you know, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
I only thought of that, you know, because mention of Robbie Lawler. I'm never a big on, you know, this is my last fight, this is my retirement fight. And I'm not saying that Stephen Thompson has said that. You know, I don't know. But we're all assuming that it's coming. We're getting close to that.
Yeah.
Tony Ferguson, we're getting close to that. So that's my biggest concern.
Well, my thing is when in any sport, not just combat sports or whatever, when you start, if you start thinking about retiring,
you've retired.
You're halfway there.
Yep.
You know, and it's time to retire. Then you can't balance that. I don't think so. There probably have been certain athletes that are able to do that, but I think it's very, very difficult. But I think from the human element of it is when you see an older guy and they're trying to, I don't want to say hang on, but stay relevant. And you're thinking, what the hell is he going to do in there?
But is it staying relevant or just that's all you know? That's what you do. Now, yeah, he could go, you know, and become a trainer with his dad and, you know, move on. But I've always said that. But that's really every sport. You know, what's a football player do when he's done playing football? What do they do? Some go in coaching. They're coaching college. They're, you know, what does a fighter do that, you know, some of them don't prepare, you know, for whenever that, you know, so many of us think, well, it's never going to end. Well, it ends. Father Time, you know, ends everything. You know, what does a fighter do that has been brought up as a fighter? His father's a fighter that's in trainer, and that's all they may know. I don't know, like I said. And so if it's already in your mind, or it's not in his mind, it's like, I'm going to go another 8 years.
And then you're hoping that they don't get hurt.
Yeah.
And then part of you wants to see them win, but if they win, then they're not going to get out anyway. They're going to say, I can do it again.
Right. Until they don't. Yeah.
It's like, it's sad. It's the hardest thing in the world is, especially with an athlete, as you mentioned, that's all they know, or most of what they know, is to let go of the ghost. It's an impossible thing for some people to do. So, and that's why it can get ugly too.
Yeah. So, well, and you know, the Tony Ferguson fight could get ugly, you know, because we don't know where Tony, everybody thinks they know where Tony is, you know, and I said it before, I'm going with, I don't think Patty is what everybody thinks he is. He's good. You know, I thought he lost, you know, the Gordon fight, you know, so it is what it is. And it's a good matchup, but you're right. If Tony Ferguson wins this fight, Tony Ferguson's not going anywhere.
No.
You know, and now he's going to want a title fight. And again, that's the demeanor of Tony Ferguson, you know, anyway.
I thought, like, he was going to step away, you know, prior to this.
But like you said, you're willing to step away until you win. And then if you win against a name.
But he's lost, and he's still coming back.
Well, the talk, the rumor, whatever, and you said pass on the torch. If that's the case in this fight, and you just said that, what happens if he wins this fight? Does he retire if he beats Patty?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either. But it is a great card. I'm looking forward to it. And just in case Matt's still listening, it is a pay-per-view. It is at T-Mobile. I can't believe that he thought this was at Apex.
Well,
you know, the 16 people that could get in here would be paying a lot of money.
Sometimes when you're in a car or whatever, you have a different outlook on life.
Well, that's mainly when you have a hose going from your tailpipe inside the car. You know, you tend not to think properly. What's your plans? The holidays? It's what, a week week away?
Well, for Christmas, it really snuck up on me this holiday. Like, I'm sure
all
most people put up can relate to that. But it was like, I still write Christmas cards out to people.
Do you?
I do. And
they sell Christmas cards?
You know, not as many places carry them as they used to. I mean, it is a thing of the past,
right,
almost. But it's a tradition. I was brought up with that. And I'll still do it. And I always want to put, like, write something in it, not just sign my name. You know what
right.
I mean? And say whatever, even if I don't mean it. I want to have some news or something to tell somebody. I'll make things up.
Sure.
You know, so, but it takes a long time to write those. I mean, I had to force myself to sit there and go through. I think I had 41 cards. 41's a lot for me,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I finally got them out, but it was like being a fighter here. It was like the fight was over. It was,
right.
I felt like
you
I
were
won.
Done.
I said, I did it.
One of my pet peeves is whatever the holiday is, or Mother's Day. Father's Day, birthday's not isn't the same. Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever. I dislike when somebody sends a group text. So I literally, it takes me hours to text every single person that's in my phone, because I've texted you on holidays, and you know, and it would be so much easier.
Yeah.
But you know, that's so I sit there and do that. One after another after another.
What about the people that write a holiday card and they have a whole thing of what they did the whole year? They give you a breakdown of what
they did. Do you enjoy that?
No, in fact, when I get those, I take them off my list.
There you go. That's smart.
Because I can't take it.
I would read it if it was under two sentences. Once it gets into a paragraph, it's too long.
I had one this year that was a front and back page. And it was unbelievable.
You should have responded with this. Who are you again?
Yeah.
Why are you telling me this?
Oh,
all right. God. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank our three guests. Much success. I hope they have fun this weekend. Ron, thank you for stopping in for the last couple hours. Matt, if you're still driving, pleasure. Be careful of the tree. Don't hit it this time. And we will be back next week from the Cool Breeze broadcast facility. I believe Caleb Beninato will be with us. I believe Xavier, who just played in the Navy-Army game, will be there.
So, yeah, so no, you had it right the first time. You'd say that.
All right, see everybody next week.
My tribe went down in the Hall of Fame, cause I'm the one who shot Jesse James.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.